Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some fun.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Man. What? I felt like that last episode was just like moments ago.
Oh, you're talking about Friday's episode?
Yeah. It just
really?
Seems, that's how fast life goes.
Life is fast. Here it is, though. Monday.
Here we are. Episode 114 on Monday.
114 Monday. And it's my name's Aaron.
My name's Aaron.
No.
There's only one. Craig.
Yep. And we're coming to you from our, once again, from our...
we're at the Annex.
We're at the Alternative Studio.
Well, remember I mentioned the chocolate fountain they were installing? Well, apparently, the health department said it wasn't okay.
It tasted okay to me. I went over and tested it after the show Friday.
Apparently, we're not allowed to have one of those.
We're
just going to get a Coke machine.
Are you sure that they didn't just say that because we were eating too much?
All I know is that the health department now has a chocolate fountain in the middle of their office.
They took it from Lee Berry Studios.
Yeah, they're the worst.
But our little friend Brittany at Lee Berry misses us because I stopped by, you know, Saturday.
Well... I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
We're the ones with our faces on the building.
That's true. And I don't know if you know this or not. I'm part of another podcast called Wisecracks Radio Hour.
No.
And we do record at Lee Berry on Saturdays normally.
You did.
And so I saw Brittany, and she missed us. She missed me. I'll just put it that way.
I'm going to say, did you miss us? She says, well, I can't say I really missed you.
You got top story tonight?
Top story.
Man arrested after making bomb threat to Southside restaurant just to avoid his bill.
Hey, that's a good idea.
It's never a good idea.
No, you don't steal.
You don't use the word bomb.
No.
You don't use the word bomb.
Was this restaurant on an airplane?
It doesn't matter. Don't go anywhere and use the word bomb.
You just did.
Bomb.
And we're... We're at the alternative
studio. This podcast is doing currently. Bomb.
What if management heard you outside the door? They would probably call somebody.
I don't care.
I doubt it.
I don't really think so. Pittsburgh. A Pittsburgh man is facing charges after police say he made a bomb threat to try to get out of paying his bill at Premonti Brothers.
I don't know what Premonti Brothers is, but man, I'd like to try some of that Italian food they've got.
It sounds like it's good just by the name. Because if you got an Italian name and the word brothers in the title,
it's
got
to be good. I've never had.
Like, it's like a law.
I've never had Italian name brothers.
You've never had Italian that wasn't Olive Garden. Liar.
That's not true.
Eric Clapton, 40. Barry Clapperton, 40, is charged with threats to use weapons of mass destruction.
How big was this bomb? What was it, MARTA?
Well, if it's a bomb, it's going to take out an area. Mass destruction.
I've seen bombs just blow up toilets. You know, small
bombs. Would you like to elaborate? Because now you just landed on some kind of a watch
list. You were
there back
in 1984?
I never did any of that. For real, I never did. Stop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you weren't there when the toilet exploded.
Stop dragging my bombs around.
At our high school.
Barry Clapperton, 40, is charged with threats to use weapons of mass destruction, public drunkenness, false identification to police, terroristic threats, and escape. Kenneth Gray, who was visiting from Jacksonville, witnessed the scene while at Premonti Brothers on East Carson
so
Street.
He was at the table next to him.
He's, like, He's over there like slurping down some linguine, and this guy's talking about a bomb. What?
I don't know.
He goes, this place is the bomb, ain't it? He says he watched Clapperton try to run out on the bar tab twice before police arrived. My friend Chris gets up, and he chases him out the door, and we go out that way. Catch him and walk him back in.
No sorry, Bob. You ain't going nowhere.
He said he and his friend even offered to pay the bill, but police had to get involved. They just had to get involved.
Aww.
A friend eventually paid for Clapperton. Police said they heard Clapperton call in a bomb threat to Nakama, a restaurant a few blocks down the street. Okay, you know, you're going to start messing with the Japanese now about bombs.
No, yes.
You don't do that.
So he didn't even call in a bomb threat for the restaurant he was in. He used the one down the street.
Let's just be fair about this, okay? The Japanese are still a little nervous about bombs, all right? Just to be fair.
We don't come in there with no bomb?
Yes. His tab is paid. Then get ready to let him go, and the bomb threat comes in, and he takes off, Gray said.
So he was in the clear.
He's in the clear, and he had to do the bomb thing.
Idiot.
Police and witnesses said it didn't end there. They allege Clapperton ran out of Premonti, something I can't pronounce it, Pimentos across the street and down 19th Street, eventually getting to a high point in front of dumpsters where police shocked him with a stun gun and arrest him.
Don't tase me, bro.
No, they showed it to him. He's like, I'm shocked you've got that. I cannot believe you're aiming that at me.
Don't do that to me. I got asthma.
Police said Clapperton told officers his friend advised him to call in the bomb threat to create a distraction. That's a good friend.
Yeah, really. That's something you'd do to me. We're sitting at Dairy Queen. We had our fourth blizzard.
Call in a bomb threat. A witness said what really irked him was Clapperton got double meat on his sandwich, despite not having the cash for it. So this man, I've been Italian.
This guy didn't care about the bomb threat.
This guy's just mad about the meat.
He's just mad he got double meat. Oh,
how do you top that? You probably have to go down to Texas.
That's the weirdest headline we've ever had. Well, I don't know. It's pretty weird.
Don't even say that.
Shirtless man covered in cow poop clings to an ATV at a Texas rodeo as cops taser and wrestle him.
That sounds like a painting.
That sounds like a movie.
I want a painting of that.
Well, contact John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, we could just stand in front of it and go, well, it's a shirtless man covered in cow poop clinging to an ATV at Texas rodeo while cops taser and wrestle him.
And I really like the way they did the cow poop on his back like that.
Yes, I love that color.
A video shows a man in his underwear clinging to an ATV in the middle of a rodeo ring getting tasered and kicked because he refused to let go.
He couldn't. They were tasering him. His body was seized up.
I can't let go. Don't tase me. Yeah. The footage opens with a man kneeling by the large, tricked-out SUV in the middle of the indoor rodeo ring in Wichita Falls, Texas, surrounded by a crowd of people.
That must really confuse people.
What?
When they go, where am I? You're in Wichita Falls. I thought I was in Texas.
The man covered in cow
Wichita
poop.
Doesn't it sound like you should be in Wichita?
Maybe.
Like
Kansas
or somewhere?
It does. The man, covered in cow poop, is yelling unintelligible words and making exaggerated hand gestures. The person taking the video says...
That was the audio interpretation of the hand gestures.
The person taking the video says, this is why you don't do drugs. He stands up holding his filthy pants and still clinging to the back of the vehicle. So this guy was rolling around out there
But wait, I'm confused.
Okay.
It's supposed to be an ATV,
but then they
said there's an SUV.
It's an SUV, ATV. I don't know.
What?
You're right. It is confusing.
It's an all-terrain vehicle. ATV sounds like a four-wheeler.
So the ATV owner walks up and asks the man to get up and move away from his car or mobile or whatever it is. When he says no, two police officers are called in. One of them forcefully kicks the man to the ground and then tasers him.
That's just for sport.
Absolutely. And the crowd loved it. He shakes from the shock but manages to keep holding on to the ATV. And I think, Craig, you nailed it when his body locks up from the shock.
Yeah.
The officers yell for him to let go and then try to pull his hands off. One of the officers...
Quit shocking him and he will.
I wish I had been at this rodeo. First of all, I'd like to be at a rodeo where there's ATVs involved. That would be interesting.
ATVs that are actually SUVs.
ATVs. Yeah, either or. One of the officers pulls his leg while the other tries to loosen his grip on the ATV. I bet this was hilarious. What if it was a rodeo clown that was actually out there working and all this took place?
I don't know.
So the owner of the ATV comes up and he kicks the man. He begins kicking on him while the cops are trying to pull him off this. That's just an overkill. Shouldn't do that. Once the man finally lets go of the ATV, officers try to handcuff him, but he flips over with his arms under his chest so they can't reach his wrist.
He's a scamp, isn't he?
I'm calling set up. I think this whole thing was set up as entertainment.
I don't know. I like to think it's a real story, though.
Oh, it is a real story. It's true. This really did happen, but I'm thinking that it was part of the act and whoever.
Well, I wasn't saying it wasn't real because you personally check all these
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah. These are all true stories. Personally checked by me, Aaron Lindsay.
If it's on the internet.
For the Weird News Podcast.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Two injured while taking selfies with elk in Lone Elk Park.
Here we go again.
People, why do you think you walk up to wild animals?
You don't. You don't walk up to wild animals.
You don't do that.
No.
That's
I don't care what it is. Yes.
Valley Park, Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Mo.
Some people say.
I call it Mo.
Mo. Two people were injured recently by elk at a park in West St. Louis County. Lone Elk Park near Interstate 44 and Valley Park is a popular place for people and photographers to visit because the elk roam free.
Oh, that sounds poetic.
Within the park, and visitors can see them up close.
Roam free.
Now park officials are warning people not to get too close. Hey, you want to hear a random story?
Well, if you got one, I'd love to hear it.
Craig's Random Story.
So we went somewhere with the kids one time. I can't remember where it was.
But how long ago?
Three or four years ago. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. And
it does.
There's this thing where you pull up and you can go see the bison.
Oh.
And you put a token.
Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. You put a token in, and it lets the gate open so you can go drive through this giant field, pasture or whatever, with these bison.
Neat.
So we put the coin in. It opens up. We're like, all right, kids. No bison. Can't find one anywhere. I'm looking for the camera. I say, hey, John, on your dinosaur tour, would you actually have dinosaurs?
You do plan to have bison on your bison tour.
You do plan to have bison on your bison tour.
What a ripoff.
There were no bison.
Craig's Random Story.
So clearly I couldn't get out and take a picture with them.
Nope. Not that you'd want to.
I bet if I got out, they would have jumped in my car.
You're smart enough to know better.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so. So, anywho. So, according to Lone Elk Park officials, they usually get one report each year. That seems low. For someone being injured.
That's just
injured,
the reports they get.
Yeah. By elk. There's other people just limping around.
Yeah. They're not going to
the
hospital.
Down the street.
What happened to you?
Nothing.
I was taking a picture with an elk.
Pulled my leg. Our partners at St. Louis Post-Dispatch. That's Post-Dispatch. That's after they kill the person. Report two women have been injured since September 30th. Nature photographer Kent Burgess captured a photo of a group approaching a bull elk Sunday.
That's a bunch of bull elk.
Yeah, it is. Burgess witnessed the group walking among a herd of elk, and it appeared they were trying to take selfies with the animals. This is not a petting zoo, people.
It's not. It's a dangerous animal. A bunch of them.
Burgess, and these are like one-ton animals.
Yes, they're huge.
Minimum, right? Minimum.
They're huge.
Yeah, huge. Okay, maybe not a ton. Well, they're probably closer. They're probably, yeah, what's a ton? Like, how much is a ton?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's heavy.
It's a lot.
It's about a bison or a
yeah,
elk.
Right. A bison and a half.
An elk. Elks are really big.
Yeah, they are.
If you've never seen one in person, they're like horses on super steroids.
Let's check
something.
This out.
Okay.
Burgess, that's the photographer, said he could hear the bull making distinct warning sounds. Back off. Put it back off. Get away.
He was going, ooga.
Get away. You better leave me alone. I will kill you. I will end you right now.
I will cut you.
And he yelled at the group to warn them of the potential danger. Minutes later, a woman was injured by the elk when its antlers connected with her arm. I don't think just connecting with it. It had to be like hit with it pretty hard.
Probably stabbed her with it.
Lone Elk Park officials report another woman was injured on September 30th when she got too close to a bull.
Are you seeing a pattern here?
Yes. And was... Of women? No comment. Was gored in the lower back. And so what he did was the elk snuck up behind her and threw a gourd at her.
No, I thought he stuck an Al Gore sticker on her back.
Yeah, she was gored.
Yeah.
It is especially dangerous to approach animals this time of year, park officials said, because it's mating season, which lasts from about mid-August to December. Posted signs at the park instruct visitors to stay 100 feet away from the animals. If a visitor to the park comes across an elk or bison, park officials say they should turn around or cut a wide path around the animal.
Absolutely. Official,
because here's the deal. Even a wide path, they want to come at you, they're coming at you.
Yeah.
Officials said people should back away and take cover behind a tree or car.
Why should you take a cover with you in case it gets cold?
Or if the bison or the elk get cold.
Oh, you could, okay.
People who get too close to the animals may be cited for trespassing or wildlife harassment because... Elk and bison need blankets, and they can't go to the store and buy them.
So you take a cover with you.
Right.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
Headline is, restaurant burglar cooks up a meal like a pro and then cleans up. How nice of him.
I think that's very nice. Very, very nice.
Security cameras are rolling at a New York State restaurant when a burglar took time out from his crime to prepare a meal, eat it, and then clean up after himself.
Well, that's just courteous.
He was probably hangry, and that's why he broke in.
He needed a Snickers.
He needed something. Will Colon. What the?
Well,
Will Colon.
It will make it there.
Manager at Nelly's Taqueria in Hicksville. Taqueria.
Wait, is it Nelly the rapper?
No, it's not that Nelly. It's Nelly's Taqueria of Hicksville on Long Island. Said the burglar broke in about 2 a.m. Tuesday, and security cameras recorded him donning gloves and cooking food like an old hand. How does an old hand, does it cook different than a new hand or a young hand?
Mine rarely cook. I don't know.
He was working the pot like a pro. He was sifting the food, shaking it around, making sure it was heated evenly, distributed evenly.
He was interviewing.
He was cooking up a storm, Colin told Newsday. He heated up some beans. He sauteed some chicken and some shrimp. This guy made a full meal.
He was interviewing.
Yes. The way he handled that pan, man, the dude had some skills. That was a quote.
Yeah, it was.
The burglar then used a hammer to break open the cash register and take out about $100, except for $1 that he left in the tip jar.
So this guy might have, you know, even... You
he could have got a job.
Maybe gotten forgiven for it if he would have not have broken into the register.
The man's colon said that...
The man's colon?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just Colon said that when the man washed up, He washed all of the cooking supplies he used, wiped down the cooking surfaces, and even cleaned crumbs off the floor before leaving.
That's a courteous criminal.
Cullen said he reviewed security camera footage and discovered the same burglar had broken in early Monday and took some food without bothering to cook it first. He's taking home, fix it at home. He was in a hurry. Nellie Balakos, owner of the eatery, said she was also
impressed. I don't think you pronounced that right.
It doesn't matter. Said she was also impressed with the burglar's skill. He used saran wrap the way I use saran wrap, you know, like a pro, she said.
You mean like in a restaurant when it's closed?
Yes. That's how I use my saran wrap.
Hey, take me to Florida.
It's a little quiet.
Quiet? Yeah, what the heck was that about?
Why is this so low, man?
I don't know. Try that again. Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
A little better. Florida bank robber Googled how to rob a bank before committing crime.
Oh.
Well, that's just doing your job.
I guess if you want to know how to do something
research.
Right. Yes, research. I'd probably go to YouTube. But
Pinellas Park. You know Pinellas Park?
Nope. I don't even know Pinellas.
Pinellas Park. A robber Googled how to rob a bank before committing the crime, deputy said. Pinellas County deputies arrested William Johnson, 26, of Pinellas Park. He lives in the park. According to detectives, he robbed the Achievia Credit Union in Largo on the morning of October 5th. When inside the bank, they said he approached the bank teller, implied that he had a gun, and fled with an undisclosed amount of cash.
Mm-hmm.
He was found at an express inn down the road where he was staying as a guest. Detectives said he admitted to the bank robbery. Johnson told him he needed money, and as a result, he Googled how to rob a bank. He also said he originally planned to rob the Wells Fargo Bank down the road, but when he entered, he changed his mind after seeing the teller was a large
male.
Oh,
my gosh. He's sexist. Not only is he a robber, he's a sexist robber.
Yeah, he thought he was going to get his face punched or something. According to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, Johnson said he spent the stolen money on rent, utilities, and drugs, and planned to rob another bank on Tuesday.
What?
He's just trying to make ends meet.
He bought drugs, this guy?
For McDonald's and a Happy Meal. Johnson was arrested and charged with robbery.
Headline is, three Chinese women stuck at South Korea airport, unable to confirm identities after plastic surgery.
I just saw this today.
And they were obviously just returning from
swollen.
Plastic surgery.
Yes, swollen.
They looked terrible. Over the Golden Week holiday, what's that, Craig?
It's the one that's not the silver or the bronze.
Three Chinese women flew to the South Korea to go under the knife. However, they're having some trouble getting back home again after the operations went a bit too swell. On Sunday, Jihan Hajo, a Chinese TV anchor, shared a photo of her Weibo account of the three women sitting at a South Korea airport, passports in hand, with their post-plastic surgery faces wrapped up in bandages and extremely swollen. And I'll go as far to say, Craig, they looked like something that may have been in a Tim Burton.
They looked like
they could have been in a Tim Burton
movie.
They look like
one of those face transplant people. They had their faces swollen.
Or that they could have been in James and the Giant Peach. They had that weird,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Anyway.
Feature small, face big.
Yes. According to Weon, the poor women looked so completely different from their passport photos that they were barred from taking their flight back home, detained, and questioned by the authorities. You don't want to be questioned by authorities
nope.
in North Korea.
Nope.
I'll tell you that right now.
No, South Korea, wasn't it?
Was it South Korea?
Well, they're from
yeah.
South Korea. They flew to South Korea to go into the knife, but when they tried to leave.
Yes.
No, nobody's going to go into North Korea because they only go to North Korea if they're going to get one of the haircuts.
Right. They were from China and they flew to South Korea.
You don't get interrogated in either of those places. Probably.
I agree. Yeah.
Although I would take my chances with South Korea over Chinese.
If I had to choose between the three of them, I would go South Korea probably.
Well, North wasn't even in the conversation.
No.
What are you talking about?
According to, it's not clear if the women have yet been able to confirm their identity. Well, don't they, I mean, can they maybe do some thumbprints or something, I guess? I don't know.
I guess.
But this incident likely won't do much to help South Korea's failing tourism numbers among Chinese travelers. It's also not clear why officers were not able to try different methods of checking the women's
like
identities,
you just said.
Like a fingerprint scan.
Well, I mean, okay, I thought about this before you said that, and if they have fingerprints on their passports,
yeah,
wouldn't they need a? They would have. Well, they could, I guess they could call in the police or whatever. To check it. I guess.
So this story is now going viral.
Or how about you just not worry about it?
What do you mean?
Just let them go.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They're obviously recognizable.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a viral story. Anyway. Oh, hang on. You know what we got for this one?
Oh, yeah. The really, 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 really long snake theme.
Listen to it. It's entertaining if you just give it a chance, man.
Okay, but the idea is the theme songs go quick. We don't have
Listen.
A say.
Watch out. Oh, the snake. Oh.
Oh, that's great. Can I just say
freaky? Can I
get back to the story now?
No, the theme song's still playing.
Nobody
okay, go
wants
ahead.
To hear your stupid 4-hour long theme songs. City employees find 5-foot long python in Massachusetts manhole. Public Works employees in Massachusetts City made an unusual discovery when opened a manhole cover. A live python.
How'd it get there?
The Worcester Department of Public Works and Parks. Why don't they just call it Parks and Recreation? Oh, I guess it's different.
That's a show.
Oh, you're right. They posted a photo on Twitter showing the 5-foot-long python workers found when they opened a manhole cover Friday morning on John Street. How funny. It's called John Street.
What's so funny about that?
A John? A toilet? Manhole cover? Sewer?
Okay.
A John?
I get it.
Get it?
Yeah, I guess.
John Street? Okay, anyway. It was a drain line, DPW Commissioner Paul Moosey told the Worcester Telegram.
Worcester.
They opened the cover, and there was this python. Animal control officers were summoned to the scene and took the reptile to a facility where it could be properly cared for, the department tweeted. Officials said the python was likely a pet that escaped or was abandoned. Yeah, this wasn't a very subtle-looking snake. It was like bright-colored yellow and red stripes, so it looked rather ominous, and it was sizable one at that.
It looks scary.
Phil Guerin's Worcester Director of Sewer and Water Operations told the...
There was a photograph included with this story, and it was a very scary
snake. We don't do photographs
snake.
On the podcast.
No, sir. Or
pictures. This is a tropical python. Somebody probably had it as a pet. That's the go-to.
Yeah.
They don't know where it comes from. It's a pet.
Yeah.
It either escaped or it was a cute little pet, and not so much when it's 6 foot and just ate your dog, I suppose. You know, Guerin, you need to...
He always paints a good picture.
Yeah, yeah. How about Guerin? How about you stay on topic? Pythons are native to Asia, Africa, and Australia. It's weird, but things happen, Moosley said. We find oddball things all the time, but I can't ever recall finding a python. Okay, enough with the wacky snake.
We got another snake story right behind it.
Wacky snake.
Listen to his voice. I'm digging his voice.
Watch out. Oh, the snake hole.
Where do you find this stuff?
It ain't easy.
He said,
freaky.
The snake hole bound.
Freaky.
Bayon.
Get to the story.
Headline is, man who tried to cross border with snakes in his socks pleads guilty.
How do you fit your foot, your leg, your snakes, and everything?
I guess you wear a size or two larger than
you wear
normal.
A larger size.
Yeah, no pun intended. A Canadian resident pleaded guilty to violating wildlife regulations after he was caught trying to smuggle live snakes into the country in his socks. Choi Lee... Those weren't pets he was bringing in. A Chinese national who resides in Mississauga, Ontario, pleaded guilty to violating wildlife regulations Tuesday. The U.S. Attorney's Office said Lee was stopped on the Queenstown-Lewiston Bridge while trying to enter Canada from New York State, and authorities found that he was hiding 3 albino western hognose snakes in his socks. You know how they found him? He was jumping around like crazy. He's like, oh, wow. Stop it. Investigators said that he had planned to mail the snakes to China. Well, why did he mail them while he was in New York? Why cross is postage that
know.
Much cheaper in Canada?
I don't know. Maybe Canada's a little looser on their exports.
Prosecutor said early the same day, Lee had mailed 7 live ball pythons from Amherst to Shanghai through the U.S. Postal Service in a package that bore a false name on the return address and purported to contain belts, candy, and chocolate. Well, maybe they were going to make belts, candy, and chocolate from these snakes.
That's true.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service inspected the package and seized the snakes. I hope they had gloves on.
No, they seized the snakes.
Which had an estimated value of $3,300. Lee failed to report for court in 2014, but was arrested during the summer in Los Angeles when he got off a flight from Shanghai. Lee, who faces up to 5 years in jail, is scheduled to be sentenced on October 30th. Happy Halloween, Mr. Lee.
You added that part.
I did. That wasn't in the story, but I was wishing.
You just wanted it to be special.
Yes.
Man arrested in Hong Kong after allegedly forcing elderly man to drink Coke at knife point.
Hey, would this be considered a food fight? Because it's a knife and it's a Coke.
It's considered Hong Kong.
Oh, I should read this
A suspected Hong Kong triad member was arrested on Monday, October 9th, after allegedly forcing an elderly passerby to drink a can of Coke at knife point.
This guy really likes to see people drink Coke.
Was he using the knife to make the guy drink it, or did he just want to see the guy drink a Coke at knife point?
I don't know which one it was. Either way, it was against the law.
The police picked up the 44-year-old man at a Portland Street guest house in Mongkok.
What'd they pick him up for?
Because they just need to see how heavy he was. They have to put that in the paperwork.
Oh, I see.
At about 10:30 p.m. and arrested him for possessing an offensive weapon, according to the South China Morning Post. Officers then went to the suspect's public housing flat in Wong Tai Sin for a house search on Tuesday. The man is believed to be part of the Sun Yi On Triad.
That must be like their mafia over there.
I guess so. He is also a part-time bouncer at Tsim Sha Tsui Entertainment Venue, controlled by a gang leader named Sai Bi. This is all made up.
No, it's
according
not.
To the report, the police are still searching for the elderly victim who was allegedly stopped at the junction of Iran Street and Canton Road in Mongkok by the suspect at about 5 p.m. last Friday. The suspect apparently pointed a knife at the victim and ordered him to drink a can of Coke. Okay. I should be so lucky.
Yeah, really?
The police were alerted to the scene by a passerby. Police, there's a man over there making a guy drink a can of Coke.
Okay.
Okay. Does he have more? I mean,
I'm kind of thirsty.
Yeah. The suspect hurled the knife on the floor, grabbed the Coke can from the victim, and fled on foot before the police arrived. The victim had also left the scene. I bet he's trying to get some DNA so he could clone the guy.
Oh, that may be it. You may be onto something, Craig.
Officers believe the suspect was under the influence of drugs when the incident happened, Apple Daily reported. Initial investigation shows the suspect is a drug abuser, SCMP quoted a police source as saying. Police believe the man was carrying the knife for protection because he owed someone money.
Well, okay.
Okay. I mean, what can you say about that?
Here, you must drink
this
soda.
What does the world come to when now people are being forced to drink sugary drinks at knife point?
That's bad news. This is, too. Headline is, New Zealand police apologize for insensitive road death tweet using a GIF from The Office.
Wow. So I'm guessing we're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I can already figure out what's happening here.
New Zealand police have deleted and apologized for a tweet about road safety using a GIF of Michael Scott from the U.S. television series The Office to convey what it is like for police to notify a family member of a car crash death. The country's official police account tweeted on Monday. It's on Monday.
Okay.
When we have to tell someone their family member has died in a crash. This was accompanied by a GIF of actor Steve Carell in character as Michael Scott smiling and saying, "This is the worst."
Okay.
The response was swift as Twitter users began pointing out that the tone-deaf tweet had missed the mark. One Twitter user named it Social Media Fail of the Week, while another said that it was the result of police trying to be funny online. I think that's probably true.
And when did you... I've noticed this is the second time I've heard the term tone-deaf in reference to...
Like offensive tweets?
Offensive tweets or something. Tone deaf. Is that the new buzz term?
It must be. I've never heard it until this.
It's tone deaf. You do something you shouldn't do. It was the Dove ad this week.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It was a tone deaf. It was a tone deaf ad.
Well, I'm going to start using it.
Yeah.
So New Zealand police said, "We quickly realized it was wrong and insensitive, and it was immediately deleted. Thanks for the feedback," it tweeted. Replying to one user, the account tweeted, "Telling someone their loved one is not coming home is one of the hardest things cops ever have to do."
And I understand they've got to find a way to shake some of that off or get it out of their system.
I understand, too.
But privately would probably be the best way to do that. And I'm
so.
Sure they didn't mean any, I would hope they didn't mean
any. They didn't mean any harm.
Because, we know one guy that's a Kiwi. We know guys in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yes.
And I don't think Mark would do that.
Drop D wouldn't do it
at all. I don't think he'd do that.
No. But let's move from Twitter to Facebook. With his next headline, would you?
If you want. I mean,
I wish you
I
would.
Was about to, but
well,
you,
go ahead.
You interrupted me, and I don't. Now I'm waiting for an apology.
Well, I'm still waiting for one, too. So
for what?
Let's wait together.
Why? What do I need to apologize
for? I don't even
for?
Remember.
But exactly.
Last episode,
you're definitely the woman in this relationship.
Last episode, you said you were going to apologize later, and I never got it. I don't even remember
I
what
I was lying. Wanted man.
But apology said, accepted.
Okay. Wanted man said he'd surrender. With donuts, police got 1,000 shares on Facebook.
this guy thinks
that's like fishing for cops right there.
This
using
is
donut.
A man who thinks that everybody feels about the police the same way he does because he's like, there's no way you can get 1,000 likes.
Well, but here's the thing too, he's fishing with donuts.
Yeah, and that's he doesn't realize what he just did.
I mean, they can find 1,000 cops to like it,
absolutely,
and they'll all get donuts.
If they gave me a donut, I'd like it.
Yeah. You like the donut or you'd like the
Both?
Post?
Post, and I'd post the
I'd
donut.
I'd have to have a donut to like the donut and a donut to like the post.
That's too much donut.
Is there ever enough?
No. Krispy Kreme.
Police in Redford, Michigan came away victorious after stepping into a face-off with a wanted man. Luckily, this battle wasn't waged with weapons. It was fought on Facebook with shares. Champagne Torino was wanted by police because his name's Champagne.
I was about to say, this guy either has to be a rap star or a mafia guy.
He was wanted on several misdemeanor charges. At some point, he made contact with Redford Township Police Department over Facebook Messenger. Torino issued a challenge to the police. If your next post gets 1,000 shares, I'll turn myself in along with a dozen donuts.
A dozen donuts?
And that's a promise.
That only feeds like two cops.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Well, in our terms, it's lucky to feed one of us.
I think you and I could share a dozen and come away happy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I could definitely take it on my own and make
Krispy Kreme. I could eat 12 Krispy Kreme.
They never said it was Krispy Kreme, though.
I'm just saying, if they were Krispy Kreme, I could eat 12, no problem. I've done it before. And they just melt in your mouth.
You sound proud.
I am proud of that, and it makes me happy.
He also offered to pick up litter around all the city's public schools. Let's see if you can get those shares. It took less than 45 minutes for the department to respond.
Challenge accepted.
Quit reading my line.
No, I was just saying that.
Challenge accepted. That was the next line.
Oh, yeah.
Challenge accepted, it posted, attaching a screenshot of Torino's message. As you can see below, if we can have this post shared 1,000 times, he will turn himself into RTPD on his existing warrants, clean up blight on public school property, and bring us a dozen donuts. The department was particularly excited about the donuts. See? He promised us donuts. You know how much we love donuts. Okay, these are cops that can laugh at themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
The post has been shared nearly 4,000. Wait. Been shared 4,000 times almost.
Well, he should bring 4 dozen donuts.
It hit its goal of 1,000 shares within an hour, after which the department posted a cartoon of a police officer dropping a mic.
So,
I love it.
I love it, too. But this goes back to offensive foods, Craig. The cops sometimes get upset by the... And how did this ever get in place anyway?
I don't know, because, again, I'm gonna have to say, I like donuts.
I almost became a cop because of it. I figured they get all the free donuts they want.
They don't get free donuts. But, well, they might. But here's the thing. You can also, you didn't know this.
What?
You don't have to become a police officer to get donuts. You can go buy some.
And I do, quite often. Headline is, mystery swamp creature crawls out of Malaysian family's toilet.
Again with the toilet.
It's the creature from the Black Lagoon toilet.
Ew.
Nasty. A Malaysian couple captured video of a mysterious, eel-like swamp creature that emerged from their toilet and crawled across the bathroom floor. I got to see this video.
I don't want to.
Zul Hanafanip, age 25, said he and his wife, Petri, were home Friday in Alor-Setar when the creature emerged from the toilet and slowly slithered around their home. I think I would have to not only burn this place down, but move out of the neighborhood at least.
Yeah. Because it's obviously something from the fire of hell.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, something that's not of this world.
They did say it smelled like sulfur. Anip said the creature's proportions, a small head with a thick body, did not match any local snakes that he was familiar with. I think the creature grew up inside the pipeworks connected to the toilet hole.
Okay, now you're just making crap up.
Because I have checked, and there is no entry point for it to have gotten inside.
Oh, really? Said. Like maybe through the inside of the toilet? Inside the house?
He was about 2 meters, about 6.5 feet long.
Wow.
With a very fat, thick body. I'm not sure if it was a snake or some kind of tidal creature.
What? He's making stuff up now.
Its head was very small, and it had a very short tail. Which it did not make it look like a snake, he said.
It might have been one of those eastern brown snakes.
Oh, I hope
wearing
not.
Wearing a coat.
And Nip said that he and his wife captured the creature in a sack and released it in a nearby river.
Released it?
Now it's going to show up in somebody else's toilet.
Good grief. Beat that thing with a club.
My house is surrounded by paddy fields, so it may have originated from there, he said. Here's a top 10 we can really get
behind.
Yeah.
Top 10. The Mark Patch top 10.
This top, week,
oh,
it's for me. This,
I should have known you wanted to say it.
Top 10 Dairy Queen Blizzard flavors.
We should have had all 10 in front of us.
Now, this top 10 actually comes with an opening sentence, Craig, and it says, going to Dairy Queen and not ordering a Blizzard is so dumb, it's like going to Taco Bell and not getting Doritos.
Who said that?
Thrillist.com. And I agree with them.
Well, but no, that's not exactly true. I've been going to Dairy Queen lately and getting the Peanut Buster Parfait.
I don't. I get the Blizzard. And I go to Taco Bell and I get the Doritos Locos Tacos.
That's the chairman of the board right there.
I agree with
these two. Peanut Buster Parfait. Chairman of the board.
So here's the top 10 list of Blizzard flavors according. This isn't me and you because I disagree with this one. Although my very favorite number one is on this list. It's not in the number one position.
Okay.
Okay, Craig. The number 10, top 10 Dairy Queen Blizzard flavor. Snickers.
That's a good one. Snickers is one of my favorite candy bars ever.
It's so good. It is. It's up there.
It's a meal within itself.
But it's so good, I don't think it belongs at number 10. It belongs lower.
It does.
Okay.
Snickers satisfies.
I love a Snickers.
That's the quote. That's
packed with peanuts.
It is packed with peanuts.
Yeah.
And you know, when you don't have one, you're kind of a jerk.
All right. Sorry, man.
Number 9. This is like the beginner's Blizzard.
Yeah.
M&M Blizzard.
Yeah. One of my first ones was an M&M
Blizzard.
You go
to McDonald's and get one of their freeze things with M&Ms.
That's
like true. Anywhere.
That one should be number 10.
That's when you're not even trying.
Actually, number 8, the Butterfinger.
Oh, I just like Butterfinger.
I don't like Butterfinger, and I don't like the Butterfinger Blizzard.
Number 7, Midnight Truffle. Well, I got to explain this one because I don't even know what this is.
Okay.
Those pellet-looking things are truffle pieces that get blended into the Blizzard Let's tell you firsthand, those things are strong on their own. I don't know what that means.
The little
mixed with vanilla
things.
Soft serve, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it's little truffles inside.
I may have to try one. I've never had a Midnight Truffle Blizzard.
Well, you know, number 6 is your favorite.
Number 6 should
and
be number
And they don't have
one.
Them anymore.
No, and it makes me so angry.
I've never had it.
Number 6, Choco Cherry Love. So it's like, you know, you like chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah.
Well, they put cherries in, they put maraschino cherries in the
maraschino?
Soft serve, yeah, in the soft serve ice cream.
What do you call it?
And then they put that chocolate shell sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And it, so it tastes like vanilla ice cream and chocolate covered cherries. It's delicious.
All right. Well, not anymore. It's not. Number 5.
Yeah.
Banana split.
I've had one of those.
Those are good.
Yeah, they're very good. Number
4. Number 4, another beginner's one.
Now, see, I disagree with number 4 big time. I don't even think this one would make
my
top 10.
It's another beginner's Blizzard.
Number 4 is the Oreo Blizzard.
It's the one they break you in on.
In my opinion, and that, this is kind of going out to Randall, but in my opinion, the Oreo, the only good thing about it is the last three letters of the name.
I get it.
Yeah.
R-E-O.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That wasn't even funny. Number 3, French silk pie.
I never had that one.
I said me never had either.
I don't like pie so much. So number 2, the Heath Blizzard.
Heath?
I've never had a Heath Blizzard because I don't like Heath bars.
Oh, I love Heath bars.
Not
me. I love English toffee. Number 1. Never had this one.
Me either.
S'mores.
Go ahead and read the description of this one.
The unanimous winner is the Blizzard, only available during the summer months. Bits of Graham. That should be in the fall.
It should be. You're right.
Yeah, that should
be
in the summer. I don't know. Bits of graham cracker and marshmallow cream make this taste like you're sitting at a campfire. Not in the summer.
Maybe they're thinking summer camp.
Well, hey.
You know, people go to summer camp.
I had an honorable mention.
Oh, go ahead.
The honorable mention would be the chocolate chip Blizzard. And what they do is they take that same chocolate that hardens.
Yeah.
They put it in the bottom.
Shell.
They put it in the bottom and they blend it up into the vanilla soft serve and it makes a chocolate chip.
I'll try. I'll be glad to try.
It's like a secret menu kind of thing.
Hey, that wraps up episode 114.
Yeah, it sure does.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Well, we'll really see you.
We'll talk to you.
Talk to you next time. Yeah.